Hello, welcome once again as we continue our study through the book of 1 John. My name is Matthew Monona, and this verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word hand car washing business located in Churchill, Tennessee. We're on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center, and there we have a hand car washing business that exists for the sole purpose of bringing these verse-by-verse Bible teachings out into the public. The Word of God says to preach the Word publicly. And so we decided that we need to see the Word of God going outside of our churches, and this is why we created the Wash and Word. So what you can do is come here to the Wash and Word, and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we invite you to tune to the Wash and Word Radio, 107.1 FM. We play Bible verse-by-verse Bible teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right here in the parking lot area. All you have to do is come in, and in your car, tune to 107.1 FM any day of the week, any time of the day, and you can hear these teachings. And we do this because we believe that, we need to hear from God once in a while, and we're not always going to find a church service or a radio program that's giving us the Word of God or, you know, is being presented so that God can speak through the presenter. So that's what we do here. So we invite you to come by the parking lot anytime, tune to 107.1 FM, and you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We also would like to invite you to Abundant Life Fellowship, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. That's when I do the verse-by-verse Bible teaching, and it's there that you can come and join a fellowship that's truly doing church the way God intended it to be. Aside from that, sit back. We're going to go ahead and get back into our study. We are in the book of 1 John. We're in chapter 4, and a couple of messages ago, we read verses 7 through 21, and we've been kind of going back through verses 7 through 21 and just picking apart some of the things that John had said. And in our last message, we kind of left off talking about the different properties of light, because that's what John was referring to. And in verse 10, for instance, he said, "This is love, that we, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And, you know, we were talking about what this love actually means. You know, the love of God is great. That's, of course, a huge understatement, but the point I'm trying to say is that the love of God in our lives is great, right? It nourishes us, it comforts us, it encourages us, and all the adjectives before the word us I can put are true and present. But you see, if we're not extending that love of God that we are receiving out to others, especially to a broken and hurt, lost, dying, and quite frankly, hateful world, then that love is stopping at us. And it was never meant to. You and I are conduits of God's love. We're mirrors, as the moon reflects the light of the sun and projects its light as an entity of its own. We are our own entities. God has made us as individuals, unique in our own way, but we reflect the light of Christ. And we are not the light. The light doesn't emanate from us. Jesus is the light, and through the Holy Spirit in us, we can reflect that light. Like a mirror will reflect light and shine it off into a different area. And that's what we are to be, and that's what we are to do. So like a mirror, we should be reflecting true love. I think we read this in our last teaching. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, and we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord." And so in order to become more sanctified, more like Christ, we've got to be distributing the love that we are receiving from God. And that love is the light, and that light is Christ. So we are to bring this out into the world. Another thing about light and in regards to a mirror is that light reflects off of a mirror, but it also heats up that mirror. So as light goes into a mirror, yeah, the light itself gets reflected, which is the metaphor that we are to be. But what happens to that mirror as the sun or the light beats into it? Yeah, not only does it reflect, but it begins to heat up. So the mirror itself is absorbing the light and the heat and the power of the energy that it is also reflecting. So like when sunlight hits a mirror, the mirror reflects the light, but the mirror also gets hot. And John says in verses 11 and 12, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." That's the complete part. In order to get God's love complete in us, we have to transfer or reflect that love. You see, the love we receive from God is an incomplete love. You say, "Well, wait a minute, handsome radio preacher. That sounds not very biblical. The love we receive from God is an incomplete love." Yes. Listen, not that God's love is incomplete, but it was never meant to stop with us. So if we stop it with us, we have short-circuited the complete revolution. When a wire is short-circuited, that's what a GFI does. It interrupts the circuit and stops the flow. And let us not be GFIs of the revolution that God's love is supposed to be. God's love pours down and out and through us, affects others. That love begins to draw others to Christ, who then get saved, who then themselves will begin to receive the love of God and reflect it. And so it's a continual circular loop of the love of God that is designed to continue an ever increasing glory, as we read in 2 Corinthians 3:18 a minute ago. So let's not hold back. Let's not keep the love of God to ourselves, because then again it is an incomplete love. Psalm 68:35 says, "You are awesome, O God, in your sanctuary, and the God of Israel gives power and strength to his people." And there's no denying we receive power and strength from God. Ephesians 3:16 says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being." So listen, when the light reflects off of a mirror, the mirror heats up. So as we receive the love of God and we reflect it, we are also heating up, as it were. We are getting strengthened in our spirit. We are becoming ever increasingly higher in our knowledge and in our power. And as our power begins to increase, so does our ministry. And if our ministry begins to increase, more glory goes to God. And I don't know if you know this or not, but you were saved for one purpose: to bring glory to God. And the way we bring glory to God, well, I can't put that into a sentence, because there are endless ways of bringing glory to God. For goodness sakes, we wash cars for the glory of God. In everything you do, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Do it all for the glory of God." So we can do endless different things for the glory of God, but we have to make sure that that's where the glory is going. And you know, just a side note in regards to the reflective properties that we have, you know, just like any mirror or any glass that might be reflecting light or absorbing heat, if that glass or that mirror is dirty or smudged or just, you know, really clouded up because of junk and dirt and dust and everything else, it's not going to reflect and or receive that light and heat, is it? But take some Windex and a paper towel and a microfiber towel. Yeah, I'm talking like a car cleaning guy, and you clean these windows and you clean them up and you shine them and you get this mirror looking pretty. Well, what's going to happen? It's going to be able to reflect that light far greater, and it's going to be able to retain that heat far more. How does this apply to our lives? Because you're dirty. Yeah, I don't know you, and I know you're probably sitting in the waiting room smelling your armpit right now going, well, wait a minute, did I? No, you're dirty. I'm dirty. We walk through this earth dirty. And though we get cleansed through the power of the Spirit and through the power of obedience and mostly through the power of confession, we are cleansed, but even our feet get dirty as we walk. And so our mirrors get dirty. Our reflective properties get smudgy. And so what we need to do is clean them once in a while, every day if possible. And this is why it's so important to spend quality time with the Lord. And the more time we spend with God, the more we realize how dirty we really are. And the more we want to be cleansed. And God is longing to do that work in our lives so that we can be a conduit for His love. This is the whole reason He sent Jesus Himself. And so our reflective properties, once they're cleansed by obedience and repentance, we now can produce power and strength in ourselves for the sake of others, for the glory of God. You know, when I think of a cold person, someone who's cold, you know, I think I can visualize them, or even myself, you know, just shivering, right? When you're cold, you kind of shiver a little bit. And then when the sun is there, there's warmth that is being delivered. And if you've ever been out in the wilderness, you know, or you've gone camping, it gets cold at night, right? At night, the temperatures drop, the sun sets, and you wake up cold. Hopefully you can get a fire going and get some heat or warmth, or the sun begins to come up and warm things up. In fact, in places like out in the desert, Nevada and places, it can be well into the 90s during the day and actually below freezing during the night. It's such a temperature swing. What does all this mean? Well, metaphorically speaking, people that are in darkness at the nighttime when the temperatures plunge, so to speak, are freezing. They're cold. They are shivering because they are in the darkness. But we, as God's children, receive the light and the warmth of God's love. It is true and it is real love. Remember, we talked about this a couple of messages ago, that the world doesn't know what real love is until they receive the love of God. We may think we know, but we don't know what true and real love is until we receive it from God. And so real love begins to, not only do we reflect it, as in the glory and the shining of the light of the love of God in us, but we also provide warmth. And kind of like a solar panel gets charged up when the sun goes onto the panels, that stored energy is used to power something. Otherwise, that something, without the energy from the sun being stored in the solar panel, that thing would be cold, dead, and dark. Guys, do you see what we are as Christians? We are the glory of Christ on earth. We are the solar panels for God's ultimate love and power. And we receive that. And we are the charging agent, as it were, to power up the cold, dead, dark things of the world. Does that make sense? Well, if it doesn't, I don't know what else I can tell you. But let's continue in our reading again here. Look at verse 13 again. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And we know, so we know and rely on the love God has for us. I don't really know if you remember when we first read these verses from 7 to 21, but just in those 14 verses, the word love was used 27 times in 14 verses, and the word God was used 21 times. So we made the connection that there's a connection between love and God. But in verses 13 through 16 that I just read, we see the Trinity being represented. We see an intricate weaving of the three-part Godhead. In verses 13 and 14, we know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. So we have God, the Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son. So we see the Trinity makes up this love and glory of God. listen, if you, by the way, if you've missed any of our teachings in the past, we encourage you to go to washandword.com website. We put all of our messages on the webpage. They're under the media tab, and there they are for you to listen to and download for free. This is one of the properties of our ministry. I just wanted to throw that out there, washandword.com. But we are in God as Christians because we now have His Spirit. And we have His Spirit because we believed in His Son. So the Trinity is all wrapped up in one, and you need all three. We cannot circumvent Christ to get to God, and we cannot have Jesus without receiving the Holy Spirit. It's all connected. It's all one. And that is the mystery of the Trinity. And it is a mystery. We are pretty much incapable of fully understanding that doctrine of the Trinity. Verse 15 says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Now we have that connection. We see that the acknowledgement of Christ brings God into our bodies to live there. How does God live in our bodies? By way of the Holy Spirit, the deposit within us, guaranteeing our inheritance, and it confirms something very valuable to us. When the Spirit of God comes into us at salvation, it confirms something very valuable. And that valuable thing is, in verse 16, we know and rely on the love that God has for us. Do you realize the Spirit of God amongst the plethora of things the Spirit's job is? One of the main jobs of the Holy Spirit is to bring us the assurance of God's love. Because when we truly understand God's love, that is how we overcome sin. We don't overcome sin through the power and strength of ourselves or quitting this or adding that. We overcome sin by understanding the love of God. And proof of His love was the perpetual event known as the cross of Calvary. And the proof of that love continues by way of the residing Holy Spirit within us. We've all heard the phrase, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man how to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. So let's change that old-fashioned phrase a little bit. And let's say it this way. Give a man a sacrificial savior, save him from hell. Give the man a residing Holy Spirit. Save that man daily. You see, that perpetual salvation, the perpetual assurance of God's love comes through the abiding Holy Spirit. In other words, the blessed gift of the Holy Spirit not only enables us, enables the love of God to be deposited, but it also acts as a withdrawal slip. And that's what we see in the verse 16b, where he says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. We have a connection with God. God in us and us in God. And then in verse 17, he says, in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world, we are like Him. Though that's an important verse because confidence and assuredness are something that we struggle with as Christians quite often, isn't it? Being confident of our salvation, confident of God truly loving us and truly forgiving us, being assured of the deposit. I mean, all these things. The devil has a way of getting into our lives and causing us to doubt. But if I asked you the question, who out there listening to my voice right now is 100% completely assured and confident of their eternal security, you would be surprised at how many Christians still have trouble raising both hands in complete assurity. And as we've been talking about in this section of Scripture, the main path is the light and love of God, but there are side roads. There are side paths that we can take along this hike and along this journey. And one of those side roads circles around back to the main path. And that is this doubt and confidence that we have or can be removed when we understand the love of God. You see, your ticket to heaven is assured based on nothing more and nothing less than your faith in Jesus Christ. So as we veer off this main road onto this side trip, and the side path is simply to take a, you know, it leads to a spring. And in that spring, we need to take a deep drink of the eternal assurance that we have in Christ. And let's wind back to the main path, because we cannot show the love of God to others as we've been commanded in these scriptures. And we cannot bring glory to God through our service to Him unless we are assured ourselves of our salvation. And so that's the end of this topic. That settles it. His grace is enough. His sacrifice was enough. His propitiation for your sins, all of them, was enough. And His death and resurrection and your faith in that death and resurrection puts your name on the guest list, period. Revelation 19:9 says, "And then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God." But the truth is, sometimes the assurance of heaven, that fact, the assurance of heaven, the feeling, become like two opposite magnets. Because we may have the facts of our assurance, but sometimes the feeling of our assurance butts heads like two opposing magnets. See, I know I'm saved, but sometimes I can't shake the feeling that I haven't done enough, or if I've done something else too much. You know what I'm coming from? And look, that's understandable. So how can we feel eternally secure and not only feel it, but know it? And even though we know we are saved, how can we feel that way all the time? Well, thankfully, John has the answer. John says, confidence at judgment will be rewarded to those who do what? John says in 17, in this way, love is made complete among us. And remember what we said about making love complete is receiving it and giving it and bring glory to God. That's the complete love. So how can we have assurance on the day of judgment? Well, he goes on to say that love made complete among us so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. You want to feel assured of your salvation, then spread and share the love of God. That is how we make this love complete. John 10:28 says, I gave them eternal life. Jesus talking, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. But to feel that confidence and not just know it, well, that is commensurate with the love of God that you allow to be displayed in and through you. So, by loving others with the power of the Spirit of God, we not only shine a light on to a dark world, we also fill up our own gas tanks, our confident tanks, if you will, because the devil likes to play in the playground of the human mind and in the human emotion. Look at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So aside from Jesus himself, what does perfect love look like? Well, we have it all throughout the book of 1 John and even in the Gospel of John. In John, 1 John 2:5, it says, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. What does perfect love look like? Obedience to the Lord. In verse 16 in chapter 4, we already read it. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. What does perfect love look like? Living in God. John 15:5 says, abide in me, and if you abide in me, Jesus says, I am a vine, you are the branch. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. So it is abiding. and it is obeying, and it is sharing. It is staying connected to God through the obedience and the cleansing of our mirrors. Guys, we got dirty feet, dirty mirrors that need cleansing. And if we can get that through our heads, if we can clear up the mirror, so to speak, His love will flow through us, and that will bring forth perfect fruit and perfect love. And guess what? We just read it. Perfect love casts out fear. And we no longer need to fear if our salvation is secure when the love of God is flowing through us. Listen, it's not our love. It's not human love. Human love is far from perfect. Perfect love is unconditional love that is from and of God. And if we obey Him, His love flows through us and we are strengthened in our eternal security and fear begins to be cast out from us. So if you think loving others with godly love is strictly for their benefit, think again. Because when we love others, God deposits in us confidence, assurance, boldness. Are you lacking any of these today? Well, let's start giving more of ourselves to others. And we have a perfect opportunity for you to do that coming up. We are beginning a public ministry right here in the Churchill parking lot on Saturdays at 4 p.m. It's called the Stairway to Salvation Initiative. And this is a weekly public ministry that anybody can be a part of. And I'll teach and preach more about that in the days to come. But we are now, Abundant Life Fellowship is getting together to create a ministry in the public setting for the opportunity for God's love to flow through and making it complete. And as we wind this scripture down, we look at verse 19. We love because He first loved. Do I really need to comment on that? We love because He first loved us. Do not think that you are loving somebody on your own. We said it earlier, if it was not for God's love, none of us would even know what true love is. And in verse 20 and 21, it's the last of chapter 4, it says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Not wanting to beat a dead horse, we get it. I know you get it. By now, you should be able to get it after covering chapter 4 in the extent that we did. But here it is. To love God is to love others. And to love others is to love God. So the big question here in closing is, do you know God? Well, that's a question only you can answer. Listen, if you need salvation, if you need prayer, if you need anything, we're here to help. That's what we exist for as a ministry. And the business part of the Wash and Word is nothing more than a way to earn money to support ourselves. We are a very, I don't want to say proud because it sounds haughty, but we're very adamant about being a self-supported ministry. We don't want to tax anything. Our motto is we want to settle the Word of God, not peddle it. And so we have this business here, but that's only so that we can get these teachings into your ears. And also to bring forth ministry help if you need it. So we're here to help. We're here to pray for you. And once again, we thank all of you who come by and support this business. By supporting the business, you're supporting the ministry. And don't forget, if you look on the table here at the Wash and Word, there's a couple of books that I've written recently, and they really really bring home the point of where we stand in our churches today and in America and what we need to do because time is running short. So take a look at the books. If you purchase both of them, we offer a coupon good for free car wash next time you come in. They're pertinent books and we just want to get them out into your hands. Well, that just about does it for this teaching. If you're in the waiting room, sit tight. We'll just roll this over to another teaching. If not, you know, remember, at the washandword.com website, you can find out everything you need to know about this ministry. Well, have a blessed day, and we look forward to seeing you at the Wash and Word. Don't forget, anytime you're in the parking lot, whether we're open or closed, whether you get your car washed or not, if you turn to 107.1 FM, Wash and Word Radio, you can hear a message from the Lord all day, any day. Have a blessed day.